The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
All right, quick, oh cool, all right, let's watch. Right here, yeah, bitch, dude, a little fucking 60 seconds, all you got. It's all right, didn't blow you out in that 60 seconds. Jesus. Okay, wow, oh fuck, all right, you know, and we're back. Yeah, we're back, let's start. That's a good start right there, that's a fun fun little time.
Hey, hello everyone, and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast. We're totally friends, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. Now, there are a lot of podcasts out there, a lot of gaming podcasts, there's a lot of NPC podcasts, but have any of them ever sent a dead whale to the moon in a great big rocket ship? No? Wow. All right, I know, I'm just getting more niche every time. Anyways, so, I am your host, Anthony Fuentes, and with me is the very ill, but not in the hip-hop way, James Brizuela.
I am way more ill than you'll ever be.
You're totally ill right now.
And I want to make sure that you're recording this. Is this being recorded?
This is being recorded.
Okay, just want to make sure we're recording. Anyway, hi.
Fucking A. All right. And, of course, Alex Cordova is here as well.
Yeah, I'm back, dude. Not sick anymore.
He's not sick. He gave it to James.
Yep.
now that he can speak, he is going to be doing the quick bits for today. So, shall we? Huh?
Yeah, as soon as I'm done drinking. All right, so our first little quick bit is the PlayStation boss. I don't know who that is, but he has stated that narrative-rich games will remain Sony's focus. Breaking news right there. Also, in the same, you know, little style of PlayStation, Jim Ryan has stepped down. We'll get, you know, a little bit more detailed on that. And also, another 3 for 3 PlayStation. Spider-Man 2, the start screen, has been posted online.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It also dropped that the first reviews will be coming out up to October 16th.
Also, so they dropped the really cool TV spots, and I must say, that kind of made me want to buy a PS5 right there.
Yeah, that TV spot, the CGI one,
yep.
Venom is like, ooh. Yeah.
Well, that shit was good. I'm telling
you, man, like, of all the people that should be playing these games, it's you, because you were always the Spider-Man stan back in the day. And, like, they're absolutely incredible. Like, I just, I kind of been replaying Miles Morales a little bit, and I beat it again last night, and I was like, oh my god, I can't wait.
You know, when I'm done paying the tax man, all right?
It's happening. The toll troll or what?
The troll toll, yeah, absolutely.
So you can get into this boy's Peter Parker soul? Or?
The boy's soul.
His boy's hole.
The boy's whole soul?
Some more.
Give me that leg, boy.
Oh, god damn it, I'm choking. All right, my bad. So, another quick bit we got. The Max Payne remake is being combined into one game with the first two. So, yeah, that's sure. That's a little risky, but we'll get into it.
It better be like a fucking 50-hour game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of story to cover right there.
Yeah, it is.
The Batman Arkham trilogy for the Switch has been delayed to December.
I wonder why.
Yeah, big surprise there. Get into that.
They had to just port it directly, huh?
So,
it's a conversion.
Borderlands 3, I think this quick bit has been debunked, actually.
No, it just did, yeah. It just did, actually.
Yeah, it got debunked, but originally, Borderlands 3 on the Switch launches with no footage?
Yeah.
Oh, no footage, I'm sorry. And a 62-gigabyte download requirement on the physical version. That has been corrected. I believe it dropped down to 26 gigs, which is still kind of a lot, but...
That's... Okay, 26, that's good. Also, they did just release a trailer today, but the trailer only has the first area of the game.
Oh, well, I'll get into it after I finish off these last two. But we got two more quick bits. The Red Dead Redemption conversion, not the remake or the remaster, conversion, people, has released a 60 FPS option on PlayStation 5 only.
Yeah, they just turned on the Switch, huh?
Yeah, finally. Okay.
I mean,
weird.
Come on.
And then the last one, kind of old. I believe I read this in August, but you know what? It's been a busy couple months.
Pretty sure we brought this up the last time we talked about it?
No, I don't remember.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
I think I was going to add it, but it just didn't fit. But you will have the option to swap between the classic music and new arrangements by the legendary Yoko Shimomura on the Super Mario RPG remake on the Switch.
That was a good name read right there.
You know what it was? It was that you can switch between the Octagon boobs and...
Yeah, that was
yes, that's right.
On Tomb Raider, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of
that. Yeah, these remasters need more old to new conversions like that with the boobies and the good soundtrack. I agree.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's the quick bits. Quite a lot, but there's some big ones in there.
Yeah.
I would have to here's the thing. We've been talking about this practically every episode, and it's just so weird to me that Microsoft, why can't you just listen and just copy what PlayStation's doing? Like, really? I mean, narrative rich games, that's what PlayStation has been doing since the beginning. Since PlayStation 4 came out, since PlayStation 5 came out, they're just focusing on, there are multiplayer games, but at the same time, there's a lot of single-player, narrative-rich stories that are just going absolutely bonkers. And it's like, I don't understand why Microsoft is not doing this, because there's their IPs, they could do this.
They used to do it. They used to do it,
but they're not doing it anymore. And, obviously, Fable's a good stepping stone for them, because it's like, bring that back. That was all, narrative rich by itself, single player, but I just don't understand it, because it's like, dude, they're getting blown out of the water.
I think they try, but you know what it is PlayStation makes good narratives. That's the difference. The narratives aren't good on the Xbox games.
They have everything there. They're not focusing on it.
Yeah.
They don't have tunnel vision to they could easily take the Halo franchise and make a single player Halo game, kind of like ODST was, sort of.
Yes.
And then do something with it like that. The same thing they can do with the Gears of War franchise. They kind of did that, but not really. But take those franchises and make narrative rich stories that exist within those universes, and everybody would buy it. But they're not. Mm-hmm. And it's not rocket science.
Off the top of my head here, just from the PS4 era to now, and I'm sure I'm going to miss some. But we got Uncharted, we got Horizon, we got Days Gone, we got Ghost of Tsushima, God of War, Spider-Man. What were those ones that the Heavy Rain developer did? Detroit.
Human, which is fucking amazing. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just off the top of my head.
There's so many more.
You asked me to name a couple of Microsoft, I'm going to be like,
You're going to have to dig around.
When was the last Halo? They bought Starfield, but again, Starfield, I'm sorry. You won't put a lot of narratives in there, but you make it so kind of cumbersome to get to them.
It's because those are they're too open world. Even though Spider-Man's open world and whatnot, it's still contained.
Yeah.
It's still smaller in scope compared to those hugely open world games. So you don't with Starfield, I imagine that there's so much more going on that you lose the narrative side of it, because it's space battles and getting to this planet and then getting to this storyline. It just takes too long. You know what I mean?
I'm still trying to figure out the menu system is not intuitive at all.
No.
As far as fast traveling. I'm it says go to this planet, and I'm like, okay, do I fast travel there, or do I just fly there? I don't get it. And like I said, after I downloaded the Cyberpunk 2077 update, I have not touched Starfield, just because of how, not only how much it changed Cyberpunk, but just of how fluid it is. I'm just thrown into a Cyberpunk world, and I can just take off, right? Starfield is... Yeah, they missed the mark on that one.
I downloaded it, and I've been playing that too, and oh my god, it's night and day. And it's completely different game. So anybody who's waited 3 years like I did, get back into it.
Now it's good.
Buy it on sale. It's a different game. It's just completely they updated the skill trees. Driving is a lot more fun now. The gunplay is amazing. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep. You know what? But I think we can attribute Sony's rise a little bit to, of course, Jim Ryan here, who is now stepping down. He's been
at
it for a while. And, he's definitely you get the Phil Spencers who are front and center. It's about me, me, me. And then you get Jim Ryan, who's kind of just making sure shit gets done.
Right.
So it's nice to have that kind of leader. And
did he take over? Did he take over in the PlayStation 3 or the 4 era?
I
want to say 3.
I should have looked that up. James, can you look that up real quick?
Yeah, can we get on?
Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
Because I remember seeing an article saying that
28 years.
Jesus, so he was even longer than
that. He was there PlayStation 2 era.
Yeah. Oh, he was working with the company then, but also, like, he started in the European branch, and then he kept going up in rank.
I believe he was full on during the 3 and the 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when he took probably more, like, a direction of telling them, like,
right,
you know, we're going into fuck all these live single-player games that, yeah, sure, they make money, but... System sellers, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go buy a new system for Fortnite. I'm going to go buy it for fucking The Last of Us 3 or God of War 3 or something. You know, I'm not going to go fucking go out of my way to buy a multiplayer game. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, like we talked about, like James said earlier, dude, like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's like, to me, Spider-Man and Arkham Asylum and the Arkham series are neck and neck. And that's like, you know, those are the two creme de la croix fucking comic book movies. I mean, comic book video games, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not even a huge Spider-Man fan, but fuck, it's like the game is that good where I'm just like, you know.
Yeah.
I know, I'm missing out. I'm missing out. Yeah, yeah. And then Ryan's also, his biggest contribution to PlayStation has been, he basically oversaw everything for the PS5. He was the most involved in that one out of everything.
Launch, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that tracks because it was good.
Yes, exactly. It's probably the best launch they've had since the 2. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's riding off into the sunset with a whole bunch of money, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Did Rockstar not learn anything from when they released the GTA trilogy and how bad it was and how they had to fix it, and now Red Dead Redemption conversion is getting 60 FPS after everybody bitched about it? So, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, didn't they just go through this?
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, too, today I just saw that now the Xbox people are like, dude, what the fuck? Give us 60 frames per second now, because they only released it on the PS5.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is jacked up. And what's funny is, like, you can only play it on the Xbox... Yep. At a lesser price. So
Well, the Xbox Series X has 60 FPS option, if I remember correctly.
I don't know. Right? I think mine, it doesn't have that. So the Series X has like something called FPS boost.
Yes, FPS boost.
Yeah. Officially, the Red Dead Redemption is not listed on that.
Oh, so interesting.
I think it is, and I messed around with it a couple weeks ago, I think it's just 4K visuals. Mm. I don't think it's 60 FPS. I think it's just 4K visuals at a locked frame rate, which is probably 30, but yeah, it's not 60. Looking at the gameplay, I saw some videos today of the gameplay on the PS5, and now it's like, oh fuck, dude, like,
wow, that's smooth,
as soon as
as
soon as this is on sale, I'm probably gonna buy it, just because now it actually looks like a remaster, like extremely smooth and all that. So I mean, I'm not gonna buy $50, you know.
No,
I'm gonna pay $50 for it still, but you know,
15.
Drops down to 15 or 20, now we're talking. But mm-hmm. Xbox got shafted.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, everybody got shafted, and they need to lower the price to like $30.
Yep.
And that's the next thing they need to do, because like I hope it got reamed in sales, and that's why they added the 60 FPS. Oh, yeah.
I think so. It started off with nothing but bad press right off the bat, but also if it has any consolation, it's most likely going to go on sale, because GTA Trilogy is always on sale for $30.
Yep.
I've never seen it at full price for more than like a week. So, I think Rockstar learned their fucking lesson on this one. And good, everybody should bitch at him. I'm with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of learning lessons, though, dude, I wonder why the Arkham trilogy got delayed by Warner Brothers Games on the Switch.
Because they want to make it good. They want to make it good.
Well, no, could it be because Mortal Kombat 1 looks like absolute shit on the Switch? So, that's a new gen? That's like a new gen game? I don't know.
I mean, that's a good point, because I feel like they saw the Mortal Kombat press and they're like, okay, guys, we can't have any of this shit happening with this one. So you guys are good, right? And they're like, actually, we can use like a month. And they're like, fucking just take the month then. Yeah. And then Borderlands 3, this seems like the worst drop possible.
Oh,
I don't know.
Like, I played Borderlands 3 with James too. Me, James, and Nate played for a while until we got avalanched by all the new games. But... I played on the PS4 and it was like, it looked, you know, good, but it started to look aged. I can't imagine what it looks like on the Switch. Like, Borderlands, they do have that cel-shaded graphics, which helps a little bit, but dude, 3 was like very like wide open areas, huge areas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm kind of interested to see how that runs on the Switch.
Yeah, here. They just need to stop.
Stop porting these games, because like then people are not experiencing the way that they're supposed to. And like Batman Arkham trilogy, like, okay, maybe they can get away with Arkham Asylum, but when they get to Arkham Knight, I don't know, man. Like, that's going to look like ass on the Switch.
Yeah. Arkham Knight looks like a game that released, like, last year still. Like,
yeah, it does.
Such an amazing game. And it's a last-gen game, too. It's not even this gen.
Nate was playing it on the PS5 at 30 frames per... Like, it has no upgrades. There's no upgrades for it. But just the fact that I walked by and I saw him playing it, I'm like, holy shit, that game looks amazing. And
it released in, like, really what,
2016, 2017?
To be fair, the Arkham City also looks amazing, too.
Yeah.
Like, that game, I don't know what it is. It has almost a timeless art style to it. Like,
Arkham Knight came out in 2015.
2015?
Oh, my God. So that's an 8-year-old game. And that shit looks like good. It could have came out last year or something.
Yep.
Damn. Ooh.
Yeah, sorry, man. They need to stop porting these games until this new Switch comes out.
I know, it's weird. It's
a new Switch.
Too.
It's a great game trilogy for the new Switch.
Absolutely. That would be, like, if they did an HD version of it or whatever they can do on the new Switch, that would be a console seller for me, at least.
Oh, absolutely. I've been playing that shit on the go with the fat new screen and all the stuff we know about it.
Yep. It's weird, though. Like, why are they porting all these games? Like, are they really trying to suck those fucking sale numbers dry on the Switch? Like,
I think so, though, because it's the third highest selling console ever. So they're like, we can really sell to, like, even if it sells, like, a fraction of the consumer base, that's a lot of copies. Because I think even, like, The Witcher 3 sold a shit ton of copies on the Switch. And, like, you know, like, these games do well. They do well. It's just, it's because the base is so fucking gigantic. That's why it works.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then, of course...
My, out of all these quick bits, though, my one concern is the Max Payne remake. So...
Yeah.
I recently, like, this year, I played through 1, 2, and 3 just because I bought them for, like, $2 on Steam, right? And, dude, like, 1 and 2, like, just for, like, those old-school type of just pick up and play for, like, an hour to get through a couple levels is, like, dude, like, that game is still, like, it holds up. The action's there. You know, the fucking... The noir.
The style. Vibe. The vibe is there. The vibe is,
dude, like, they don't make games like that anymore. It's very rare, right? I was a little concerned when I heard that they're combining 1 and 2. Because 1 and 2, like, 1 by itself is a classic. 2 is, it was long. Well, actually, I shouldn't say it was long, but it was just like, yeah, they're separate games for a reason.
That makes sense.
So, I'm a little concerned about that. It'd be interesting to see how they're going to handle it.
I mean, and given Rockstar's track record lately, it's okay to be skeptical, you know? It's okay to be skeptical. I heard 3 was a banger, though.
Oh, dude, 3 is... I played that shit on...
I want to say that I played 1 and 2 on the original Xbox, like, years ago. Mm-hmm. I never played 3, but even 1 and 2 were, like, extremely good.
Yes.
So 3, I like to... Like, 3 gets away from New York City, and the closest thing I can compare 3 to, which I love, is Man on Fire. With Denzel.
Yeah.
Like it's that type of, like, story.
Revenge
where,
story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he's an alcoholic, but yeah, he has to snap out of it, and, like, oh, man, like, 3, yeah, 3 is, I think it's my favorite one, but it's also the most, more recent one, which I, even then, it's, like, 2010 or 11 or something.
It's been a long time. That was 360 gen, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it came out on 360.
Yeah, because the first two came out on the original Xbox, and then the third OG.
Damn. So, I'm a little concerned about that, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Not concerned about the Super Mario RPG, though.
I mean, that's looking better and better every time, dude, honestly. And I'm
excited.
Yeah, I'm still going to give the new music a chance, though, because Yoko is an amazing composer. Like, she's literally done fucking a Legend of Mana, Xenoblade, all the Mario and Luigi games. Like, she's been Kingdom Hearts. That's her baby's Kingdom Hearts, so it's like, you know, she's got a pedigree, so I'm interested to see her new take on the music, but she did get to the stratosphere because of the OG soundtrack she did on Super Mario RPG, which is still one of my favorites from the SNES era, so I'm with it, you know?
If it's going to be, like, Master Chief Collection, it shouldn't be that big of an issue, because, like, Master Chief Collection had the whole, like, you literally push one button, you can switch between graphics, like...
Yeah, that was cool.
If you know, hopefully they have that same option to where maybe it's just like a quick little menu toggle, and it'd be interesting to see, like, the difference. Just push pause, go in, change it.
They also did that with the Diablo 2 remake.
Really?
Yep. So, and it was really funny because me and Chris were talking about that. We were playing, and we both switched to the old school Diablo 2 graphics, and I was like, holy shit, this looks awful. I couldn't believe that, like, back then it looked good to us. And I was like, oh my god, like, it looked so bad.
Oh yeah.
But mm-hmm. it was just like, I think you press like the left stick in or whatever it was, and you can instantly switch to like the outdated graphics and the newer ones. And I was like, oh good lord.
Like, give me the new ones. Put the makeup back on. I will say though, the Halo 2 remaster in the Master Chief Collection looks fucking amazing also.
Yeah.
Like, that one's hard to go back from right there. That looks next gen as hell.
Yep.
But, you know, okay, well, that was our quick bits that we actually spent a lot of time on, but it was a lot of bits. So, yeah, and then we're going to run through these, not as many stories this time. So let's just see what we got. Back to good old Apple, who is entering the gaming space. iPhone games like Resident Evil 4 will reportedly only cost $60. That's Jesus. Right. Apple is finally entering the gaming space with PS4 pricing. That's right. Still in a word on new software aside from Resident Evil Village, Assassin's Creed Mirage, and Death Stranding, of course. Is Apple finally taking gaming seriously, or will it be like the Mac and only have a handful of games for like a year and everybody forgets about it? I don't know. Yep,
that one.
You think that's the case?
That's the one.
So, I don't know if you saw the reports of the new iPhone literally burning people's hands because it gets so hot.
Yes.
And I was like, all right, so like, you're not going to charge me $60 for a fucking game on a phone that I can't play because it's on fire.
You're like, that's going to incinerate my gaming hands right there. That's my gaming hands.
Yep.
Dude, and then people were like posting videos of them being like, oh, I'm playing Call of Duty on my phone, but they're doing the projector like on a wall. And I'm like, and when it comes to that, why don't you just play on your fucking console? Like,
yeah.
What is the point of projecting it to a screen? And it's like, yeah, you know what that's called? It's called a fucking PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series S. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you could, yeah. A Series S will play it even better quality than the iPhone. And it costs, like, you can get one for $200. You're okay. $200.
You know what I miss is those exclusive games that they used to do back in the day. Remember Resident Evil 4 on the iPhone, dude? Like the OG one?
Yes.
No? Is that only me?
I remember.
I had it on my iPhone 4, I believe. Like, if Apple did that, like, you got me interested. But, like, if I'm going to play a fucking next-gen game, I'm going to play it on my next-gen system, not my phone.
Yeah. It's so bizarre to me that they're going to charge $60 for a game on your phone. And, yeah, I know.
My prediction...
Who the hell is going to buy that?
Honestly, dude, here's what they're going to actually do, because Apple does this shit all the fucking time. They're going to do... they have Apple Arcade. They're going to see how this shit sells in the first quarter, and if it doesn't sell that well, they're going to dump all these games when they start getting discounted on the Apple Arcade. And try to pitch on that service right there. That's the game plan, I'm pretty sure. Because at the end of the day, they want people to keep giving them money every month.
Well, like, the arcade is basically Apple's Game Pass.
Game Pass. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of how I see it playing out. I mean, but, you know, it's tech stuff. I think it's stupid. Yep. I think Apple Arcade's dumb. And I think this is dumb. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how the casuals do, because we're not the audience for this, obviously. We clearly...
Yeah. True.
All right, what else we got? Oh, this is a... Oh, this one hurts.
Once again, Epic Games is cutting... Epic Games is cutting a lot of stuff. How about that? The layoffs had hit the Fall Guys team the most. The Fortnite developer is expected to lay off 16% of its workforce, which equates to roughly 830 jobs. Holy shit.
Damn.
Epic CEO Tim Sweeney reports that the layoffs are a result of, quote, spending way more money than we earn, end quote. There are reports that the recently acquired Mediatonic, the studio behind Fall Guys, was one of the hardest hit areas in Epic Games. Also, FYI, in 2021, Fortnite reportedly generated $5.8 billion in revenue for Epic, and 22, $6 billion.
That's Rockstar numbers right there.
That's only Fortnite, by the way.
They don't have anything else. Like, they cut everything. They cut Paragon. They cut everything to focus on Fortnite. So it's like, yeah, they acquired Mediatonic and Fall Guys, but this makes sense because it's like, it's not theirs. It's not Fortnite. Like, they're going to keep dumping as much money into Fortnite as they possibly can because that's their earner.
They are a business at the end of the day.
Yeah, is the CEO going to take a pay cut, or are you just going to take all these jobs, dude? Because, you know, you're the leader, bro.
Yeah, to me, this is the standard tactic of Like, listen, you guys got all these games done and ready to go gold for the holiday season. Thank you. We're going to thank ourselves for pushing you so hard. Yeah. And we're going to boot you off. Good luck finding a fucking job at another developer. And that's when their Q4 raises happen right there. They end the year with the biggest profits and the least amount of overhead. And then they rinse and repeat the next year. They're just doing America. A very big one this year.
America.
That's America, baby. Yep, that's how it works. Hey,
well, didn't we report a couple episodes ago about how the Nintendo CEO made himself take a pay cut because Nintendo didn't perform like as much as he wanted?
Yeah, Satoru Iwata did that shit back in the day because of the Wii U. He's like,
fucking Japan, man.
Like, I know, right? With their standards.
Yeah, I know. Like, they actually have humanity for people. You know, like.
Oh yeah,
they were wearing masks back like 10 years ago just because they had a little sniffle, and now everyone's like, "You ain't gonna make me wear no goddamn mask." That, you know,
all sneezing in your faces and shit. Like, I'm gonna sneeze. There are no sneeze guards on this goddamn hometown buffet either. Let me just get the mac and cheese with my full hand.
Yeah. Never change the pen.
Mm-hmm. That's All right. Well, speaking of more bad news, Jesus.
Oh yeah. So also, Naughty Dog, the juggernaut that is owned by Sony, were also hit with layoffs. Even Sony's flagship studio is not immune from the waves of layoffs hitting the industry right now. As it is being reported, Naughty Dog is laying off around 25 contractors. I mean, it still sucks.
It's not the worst.
It's not 830, but it's still, you know, it's people's jobs. The full-time staff do not appear to be affected, but the QA testing department are the ones being hit the hardest and downsized reportedly. Internally, it is being reported that all the full-time staff are being told to keep it quiet by Sony, and then Sony themselves offering no comment when asked by numerous journalists and all that. Excuse me. In June, we did say that there were rumors of the multiplayer Last of Us game being downsized. I'm not sure the episode number with that, but go ahead and go check that out, guys, if you didn't hear it first. But now it appears that that game is being, quote, put on ice, end quote. But allegedly, it's not canceled, according to internal sources. So, we talked about a couple episodes ago, you know, like, I personally, as a Last of Us fan, like, yeah, the multiplayer game would probably be cool, but it's not something I'm losing sleep over.
I think they know that, too. That's why they're kind of like...
I don't understand why they're even doing this. I didn't give a shit about it in the last one. Like, I don't care about it now. Like, I don't play these games for multiplayer. I play it because it's a... What were they called? Narrative-rich game.
Narrative-rich,
yes.
Dude.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, it has makes nothing to do things. With multiplayer. Yep.
Makes you feel things. And then also another little quick bit is a follow-up on this is one of the lead multiplayer designers recently left Naughty Dog. And this person was actually the brains behind the Fortnite Battle Pass when they were with Epic.
Damn.
And they recently, I guess, they went from Epic to Naughty Dog, and they were helping with this multiplayer Last of Us game, and then they ended up leaving. I believe today it was reported. I'm not sure of their name. It's not top of my head, but yeah, it was funny because people were like, "Yeah, this is the person that invented the Battle Pass." So if they're leaving the multiplayer Last of Us game, that thing's pretty much dead in the water already. So
yeah, and that makes sense why they would get rid of QA people then. Because they're like, we don't need to immediately release this game, or it's on ice. So why don't we focus our energy on the initial development of a bigger game we're working on? But that also, I think, means since they're not doing QA, they're barely starting or barely getting the ball rolling on whatever big game they have next. I can't imagine it's, like, gonna release next year, you know? Because they need QA people for that shit. So,
Yeah, you gotta test it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Naughty Dog, I don't know what's happening back there. I think maybe they try to pull a Fallout 76 situation. Like, this can fund us forever. And they're like, well, no, actually, it's kind of stupid. Why don't you just go back out of here? We'll figure out, you know, what we're doing next.
Yeah, well, I remember in the episode that we were talking about, like, Bungie, of all people, were telling them, like, hey, yeah, this isn't a good model. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, I still play Destiny now, but, like, I really just don't like Bungie's model of, what they're trying to do, making a shooter MMO. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can go like for another 10 minutes with that, but basically it's like Bungie telling Naughty Dog that they're doing something wrong is just funny to me.
Yeah, right? Right, like, listen, I know we fucked up a little bit, but we're at least making money. This seems bad, you ain't gonna get shit. Like, that seems to be the discussion. Exactly. Yeah.
So, they also might just be allocating all the resources for The Last of Us 3, as they should.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking,
You know, Neil Druckmann was already, you know, we already talked about it, I think last episode, the episode before that. Everybody's theorizing that they're already working on number 3, which would make complete sense because of how popular the show is now. And it's like, that probably gave them the creative juices to push forward into the third game. You can release the third game right along with season 3 or 4 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, boom, that's like buku bucks. Like, why are you focusing on this multiplayer game that nobody gives a shit about?
Well, like that, and the last of those people watching the fucking show are not interested in multiplayer or whatever. Like, they want an experience just like the show. Yep. They want a full, rich ass narrative game.
Yeah,
that's why they picked up the previous games, and the sales picked up once the show came out. Like, it's you know, they know what they're getting into. So yeah, I think 3 is definitely going to come alongside an upcoming season for sure. Now, when that happens, who knows? The actor strike's still happening, so you know, we'll see. But okay, cool. So we got one more bit of news here before we get to rumor time. This is, you know, how unexpected here. Nintendo closing Wii U and 3DS online functionality in 2024. Oof.
R.I.P.
Yeah, Nintendo is completely washing its hands of the Wii U and 3DS in less than a year, actually. So the company announced April. It is shutting down the online services for those two consoles. This happened shortly after they actually returned online functionality to some Wii U games like Splatoon and Mario Kart 8. Way to tease. So if you need to transfer your Pokemon from Pokemon Bank, now is actually the time to do it. So, you know, pay that $5, baby. Just do it. Yeah. See,
dude, I mean, I know you guys always talk shit on me. You guys talk shit on me for always emulating, but this is why, man. Like,
yeah.
This whole, like, they give them all this money and then they just take shit away.
They lie. They lie right to our faces.
Honestly, like, I can understand the Wii U, but 3DS, bro? Like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah, 3DS sold, what, 90 million fucking dude, consoles? Like, that's like a big base to work
yeah,
with.
Yeah, like, how are you going to take that? Like, whoa.
What's going on there? You let that one rip. Okay, you're like, you want to think about fucking Nintendo Online?
Yeah, so it's like, dude, like, the 3DS is the last Nintendo official portable console, and they're just going to take it away? Like, come on, dude. That's, nah, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Just bad taste in my mouth.
I mean, from what I've read from the online accounts, a lot of people are saying, like, they're literally moving to a whole new account system. And I guess, in terms of resources, Nintendo is not like Microsoft or Sony, so they're going to need to shore some stuff up. But, I mean, the 3DS, I feel like it can't take that much to run the 3DS online. Like, it's not a bandwidth-intensive fucking system. Wii U, fine. Take the Wii U out. Nobody cares a shit.
Yeah,
that's
no
fine.
One cares about the Wii U.
I don't care about the Wii U. Yeah, yeah. But the 3DS, like, I don't know. That should be, like, one of their lasting legacies there. It really is the last Nintendo handheld, but hey.
Like, how much can it cost to keep the servers up for, like, Mario Kart 7?
Yeah. You know? Oh, 7 was like, so good, too.
Oh, I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, a typical Nintendo move. Let's hope they actually get some backwards compatibility so we're not pissed the next time this happens. So, hey. All right. Is it rumor time?
Hold on.
That was
one more moment, Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
One more little small bit of news. I will be writing an article about this tomorrow morning, but the Pokemon live action series trailer dropped today.
Oh yeah, yep.
It's in complete Japanese, so you know you're gonna have to imagine what they're talking about if you don't speak Japanese. That is, I saw the trailer and read the synopsis, and it's So. It's got absolutely nothing to do with, like, what Detective Pikachu is and what everyone was hoping it's going to be. It's basically a girl who rediscovers her love for Pokemon Red and Blue, and it's a dramatic story of her connection to her family through playing the game. So
yeah, like, I think we had a news article about this a couple...
We did.
Yeah.
The trailer, like, the trailer dropped, and it's exactly that. Like, it's like...
Yeah.
It looks... Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell it is.
She's basically playing a Game Boy, right?
Yes.
Like, that's what it
so
is.
So, she's a fan of it when she was a younger child and played it, and then, like, she moves or something, and then her family, her parents send her a care package, and it has the old Game Boy. And then it's basically about her relationship with the games now, and how she's like basically speaking about the love of Pokemon to everybody. Yeah, it's
that sounds like a Lifetime movie commercial.
It's a Lifetime movie commercial. I saw the trailer, and obviously, again, I don't speak Japanese fully, so I didn't really understand what was going on, but.
But you're like, Nani?
I was like, this looks really stupid. But yeah, so if anybody wants to, it's on Twitter. You can go check it out. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The only Japanese I know is Uchiha Itachi.
That's it. Urochimaru. All right, we're going to get to Urochimaru. Yeah, his song still fucking slaps, too. Jesus Christ. Anyways. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Leaky Tat, rumor time, not whack ass Pokemon movie time.
Yeah, let's liven it up here, huh? So, the first leaky rumor we got is BioShock 4 is coming in 2028, 5 years, hell yeah.
Oh my god.
Cloud Chamber is reportedly taking over the IP from the now-closed Irrational Games.
R.I.P.
So, recently, a senior concept artist for Cloud Chamber updated their profile on ArtStation, a showcase platform for games, films, and media. The artist simply noted on their profile that they were working on a BioShock game with a release date of 2028. My only concern is, where the fuck are they going to go now? We did underwater. We did in the sky. What are we going to do? Just a normal...
prequel?
That was 2, though, about right? What? 2 was a prequel?
No? 2's a prequel, and... And, spoiler alert for a fucking, like, almost 9-year-old game, Infinite had ties back to BioShock 1. Yeah. So...
Okay, but, like, they didn't really go into, like, you know, fully into, like, Rapture being built, so that could be an avenue to...
Yeah,
you know?
That's actually a good one. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Hey, that book, there's a book on that, right?
Fall of Rapture? Well, that could, is it the Fall of Rapture?
No, no, no. I think it's called just... it might be called Fall of Rapture, but it's... I know for sure, I've read this book about 2 times, it's an awesome fucking book. Like, if you're a BioShock fan, you need to read it.
Well, guess it what? Goes, they can turn that book into a game.
I
there
mean,
you go.
Maybe, but oof, yeah, I don't know.
Well, because, I mean, they didn't really... They, you know, you're thrust into the world where, you know, with Andrew Ryan and everybody, and Rapture's already there. Yeah. But, like, how did all of that start? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, where did it come from? Like, you know, all of that can be explored in a prequel game, and I would be down for that.
I would be down to have like a Fallout style thing where you're like a new character that's like, I'm going on the boat, and like this is supposed to be a big thing, and then the world is revealed to you and it slowly crumbles from its like very like good infrastructure to like madness.
The book literally picks up. I forgot it has characters like Sander Cohen and Andrew Ryan, of course, from the game, but I forgot who the main character is of the book. But basically, it's like it's. This character got approached by Andrew Ryan to make Rapture, right? Like, this person is a heavy architect in Rapture. And the book literally goes from the beginning of Rapture all the way to literally the beginning of BioShock. Like, it ends with the plane crash. So, no, I mean, the book is extremely good.
That sounds like a great story.
Yeah. There's also... like a follow-up, like it may not necessarily be about Jack, but it could be the how Rapture pours into the rest of the world, because maybe underwater, but you know, who knows, maybe some splicers got out. And
that's the bad ending for BioShock.
Yeah, I was gonna say the bad ending from BioShock is, I believe, the splicers get out, and they
there you go. The splicers are in the world now. What is the world gonna do now that splicers are a thing?
Oh my god, splicers be interrupting influencer live streams and shit. Perfect.
Well, I don't know about all that.
That's what I want.
I want a total commentary on the stupidity of America. That'd be great.
Well, I mean, like, so the BioShock takes place in what, 19? The 1920s?
I'm not sure, World War II or one. Which one?
I think it's World War One.
Okay, there, then maybe they get out and then it's gonna be World War II with splicers.
Oh, maybe. Oh shit. Okay.
Cloud Chamber, call me up, dude. We'll discuss this.
We got ideas. Okay. All right. So, I mean, but also, is it even targeting this gen at this point? That seems like a...
2028 is... Woof.
Yeah, that's pretty far down the line.
It does take a long time to make games, so maybe they're just throwing that out as, like, you know, that supposedly it's going to be 2028.
That's like, yeah, I don't know. But to me, BioShock's always been a very big showcase of what tech can do. All the games have looked amazing.
I'm saying it right now, even in 2028, we're going to see BioShock 4 before we see Elder Scrolls 6. What up?
Yep. I can. I'm with it. But we're not likely going to see in any of the forthcoming years, unfortunately, James. You have this.
So Star Wars, the much maligned Star Wars Knights of the Old remake has been Palpatine. Fans recently noticed that on PlayStation media channels like Twitter and YouTube, the anticipated Star Wars KOTOR remake trailer was cut down like a youngling by Anakin during Order 66. The trailer was made private on YouTube, and the tweets containing any mention of the game were straight up deleted. Many assumed the game was now in trouble. However, Sony released a statement saying, quote, "As part of normal business, we delist assets with licensed music when the license expires," end quote. You fucking liars.
But mm-hmm. Mr. Jack Ryan, there's no budget. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Damn.
I honestly just think it's Disney. You know what I mean? Like,
good point.
They've already shut down the fan-made, you know, remake of the first game that was finished, that was done in Unreal. They shut that down. And they're probably shutting this one down because now it's like, I don't know, maybe they want to remake it and finally reveal the Old Republic within the current state of Star Wars right now.
Yeah, they want to fuck with the canon a little bit.
And then make the game follow that instead of being a one-for-one remake of the original one, because that's technically not canon.
I feel like that kind of removes the soul of the OG, though. Like,
Disney. Disney does this shit.
Like, I know.
They put their finger on the button. They get rid of shit.
They're like, we got so much moving parts here. We don't want people getting confused. Nix it.
If you guys want to see how Disney really works, go ahead and go watch that South Park episode with Mickey Mouse and.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they just barely canonized Darth Revan in episode 9. So it's like, you know, maybe they want to do something completely different with it and around Revan, which would be cool, but it's not going to be like the remake. It's going to be something, a different story that involves him, which would be great, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how they do it with this. I think you're right, though, James. I think they're definitely trying to, like, make the canon adhere to what they're trying to do, but I think it's also going to be very restrictive because this is a BioWare game. Like, it's about options and, like, a vast story. Like, that's a lot to keep up with compared to, like, you know, a TV show or a movie where they, you know, they could knock it out and, like, they have such a big team. Games don't really work that way, so I don't know. I don't think it's happening. I think it's going to be too hard. They're going to squash it, and then this stuff's going to be part of other media. That's probably about it. So
yeah.
Thanks, Disney. Hey, all right. Well, that was fun. We're wrapping up here, guys, so we just got a couple more questions here now. What are you guys playing? I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't playing shit. I have the busiest week coming back from my vacation. Literally booted up Pokemon for 15 minutes, and I got 2 shiny Vulpixes, and you know what? I'm happy with that. I'm okay with that. What are you guys playing?
I am playing weird. Well, I'm playing a little bit of both of the free PlayStation games right now. The Callisto Protocol is free, and it's basically like Dead Space on crack.
Hey.
It's pretty fun so far, but I'm already kind of like about it. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, the other one, Weird West, is really good. It's a top-down RPG based in the Wild West, but it's also, there is paranormal creatures like werewolves and sirens and things of that nature in it. It's kind of a combination of Borderlands and Disco Elysium, which is why I think I'm really a big fan of it. I've been playing it the last 2 days while trying to recover from this cold, and it's actually really good, and it's pretty fun. It's got a lot of you know, choices, and those choices affect the overall game, which is really cool. It's for those who have PlayStation, check it out. It's free to download this month, and it's pretty damn awesome.
I've heard a lot of good things about Weird West.
Yeah.
A lot of good things.
Yeah, I'm having a really good time. The storyline's great. The action's fun. It's quite difficult at times, too. But, you know, this is all just a placeholder until Spider-Man 2 comes out.
Precisely. Got a few weeks. A few weeks for rest.
Mm-hmm. I am currently on Counter-Strike 2, which came out of nowhere. I'm not going to lie. It's basically just Counter-Strike Go with a fresh coat of paint, which isn't bad. Don't get me wrong, I mean, it feels nice, and I was already getting pissed, people fucking, you know, wrecking me and all that. I played like five games and I got wrecked, but Counter-Strike 2 is out. I've been playing it, and then also I was able to secure Mortal Kombat 1 finally.
Yay!
And it lives up to the hype, man. Well worth the full price that I paid for it.
Really?
You know, me and my son are playing it. Campaign, awesome as always. I'm about, I think, 60% through with it, it said. And I'm only like 2.5 hours in.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Mortal Kombat stories are never like slogs. It just kind of just hits like boom, 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 boom. And you know, the graphics look awesome. The X-rays are awesome. Oh, I'm sorry, they're not called X-rays now. They're called Fatal Blows. They're awesome. The fatalities, you know. So, yeah, well worth the price. And I'm having fun with it. You know, they have the whole online multiplayer King of the Hill mode, which I'm glad they have that. That shit was awesome. And I'm just hyped for fucking Homelander and Omni-Man to come, finally. So
damn, why don't we bring that around to one of the bros' givings or whatever, and let's just fucking slap it on. I'm with that. All right.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. And not the Switch version, huh? Just regular?
Oh, yeah, no. PS5 version. It's sick, dude.
It's good.
Yep, you can see every, like, intestine getting ripped out and every spinal cord getting fucking broken. It's awesome.
All in 60 FPS. There we go.
All in 60.
All right. Well, that's the games we've been playing. And then, of course, my gaming win of the month. We've been talking about it pretty consistently so far. I'm just going to reiterate here. I think CD Projekt Red, the way they've turned around their reputation is phenomenal. And they also hit 100 million games sold just a couple days ago. And that's of all their catalog. They have obviously been at the game for a while. They didn't have the same backing as some of the bigger publishers, yet now they're pretty much like top dogs. And to recover from Cyberpunk how they have, you know what? Much respect to you guys. CD Projekt Red, big old thumbs up from me. So that's my win.
Yeah, no, I agree. That 2.0 update is just...
Yeah, it's really good. Like, it made me fall in love with Cyberpunk for the first time ever.
Yeah, and 100 million games. Like, that's huge. That's huge for any fucking publisher. So, way to go, guys.
My gaming win of the month is Diablo 4 is overhauling the game with the new season reveal that is coming out on October 17th, I believe.
That's why you gotta be bitching sometimes.
I mean, you know, I will say that... you know, they Blizzard does listen a lot, especially when it comes to games like this. And enough bitching will eventually get some big changes made. So yeah. Some of the biggest changes that are coming real quick are they're going to be adding 5 new endgame bosses. And all of these endgame bosses will be dropping unique and uber unique items for the first time, which is awesome because the uber unique items were simply just carrots in front of our heads that they just showed online and nobody was getting them ever except for like few people, you know, in the world. There will be drop specific uniques for those bosses that will also tie into the overarching new season of the vampire powers that are going to be, you know, given to everybody. So that's one of the biggest changes. Another big change is they are finally going to stop making gems take up space in people's inventories. That was a huge issue when the game launched. And now they will be considered not items of that nature. So that's a big win. And I think the biggest change that is really going to impact the game is they've overhauled the leveling system. So it's not going to feel as much like a grind to get to level 100 anymore. They've significantly significantly increased experience across the board, with Nightmare Dungeons, with Helltide Chests, with everything concerned. You're going to be getting more gold. You're going to be getting more experience. So it's going to be a lot easier for people to level up, which is cool because even though the seasons are like, I don't know how long, 2-3 months maybe, mm-hmm. It still takes a long time to get to 100 or even get close to that. So they're going to try to alleviate that. So people that are going to start the new season, they're starting over with the new character, which is what you have to do.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot easier for you to get the Paragon boards. It's going to be a lot easier for you to get all the benefits of being higher level way quicker. So I'm a huge fan of this. I did not play the last season all the way through because I really didn't like it. But it sounds like with this new season, they are completely changing everything to be, again, a lot more accessible for people who, A, don't really play Diablo a lot, and B, for people that have been longtime players, are like, come on, we need more out of it. So
yeah,
that I'm excited. That's my win,
dude. I mean, I will say this reeks of just like, oh, all the people who used to play our games are older and more responsible now. We gotta respect their time. That's what it feels like.
Well, yeah, there's so much more into Diablo 4 because like the Paragon boards, you only get that when you hit level 50, and that's truly when your build starts to make sense, mm-hmm. and starts to output the kind of damage you need for all the end game stuff anyway. But from 0 to 50, it still takes a while. Like, I don't even know if Alex got to 50, and, you know, from when he started playing. Between 40 and 50, it takes forever, or it took forever. But now they're mitigating that. They're adding a lot more experience. So when you start getting into the higher tiers, the Nightmare, and then everything after that, like, you start feeling it. You're leveling up a lot quicker, which I love. So, and because it gives everybody the option to try out a new character and, like, really to get deep into it a lot quicker. So
that makes sense. There you go. All right.
Thumbs up. I will be trying to see how I feel about it for the 3 days before Spider-Man 2 comes out. But yeah,
that's funny. Yeah. Okay. From our fail to one of our wins. There we go. Way to go, Blizzard. All right. What about you? What you got?
Mine is the fact that it's just Spider-Man 2 month, man.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. October 20th, dude. I'm like, I'm here. I'm waiting for it.
Oh yeah.
Just waiting for fucking October 19th at 9 p.m. and I'm gonna be downloading it, playing it.
I saw this video on Twitter that somebody posted. It was an edit from Family Guy, and it was Peter in his living room, and it just showed a picture of Spider-Man 2. And he's like, "I want it now!" And he just starts wrecking his house. And I was like, that's how we all feel right now.
Oh wow! All right, well shit. If I can pay the back tax man real quick. That one's definitely getting on the list. Although I have to play one first, I'm sure.
You have to play one Miles Morales, and then you have to play two.
All right.
You have to play both, man. You can't go around Miles Morales.
I do have access to a PS4, but we'll see.
You better borrow that, dude. You better get on there.
I could borrow it. Okay, but now for the gaming fail of the month. This one's funny. My big fail is the Pokemon Van Gogh collab exhibit at the Van Gogh Museum. Now, I don't know if you guys heard about this by any chance?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Bunch of fucking nerds and scalpers raided this special event that was designed for children to enjoy art and Pokemon. So it was going to have some nice little merch that kids could have so they can have arts, learn about art, and also do it with the guise of Pokemon. And what ended up happening is they didn't put a limit on how much shit you can buy per person. So it looked like a fucking riot happened at the Van Gogh Museum gift shop. And the nerds took over, and of course the money-grubbing scalpers did as well. People were just hand over fist trying to get as much shit as they can. And honestly, it was pandemonium.
Wait.
Big fail.
Wait. So what you're telling me is when they released a special Pokemon merch item, you're not supposed to go run and buy it all up like a certain 35-year-old guy that we know?
I mean, unless you really like Happy Meals. Unless you really like Happy Meals and you can handle like 3 or 4. No, even then, don't deprive the kids. Don't deprive the kids.
Phil.
Yeah, if this story is again, it combines my disdain of scalpers, and also there's a certain level of nerddom. We're nerds here. All right? That's fine. That's just who we've always been. But there's a scale, you know. We can talk to people, and we get laid sometimes. These people, I can't imagine, don't even know what a vagina feels like, and they just shit. Dude, have you seen these people like in this footage? I'm like, man, that can't smell good. There's no way these people are deodorizing. It's so bad. Yeah. No, Pokemon Van Gogh. Look it up. It was horrifying. I'm sorry, kids. You deserve to have some Pokemon fun, but they fucking ruined it again. So that's my fail. Big fail.
Yeah. My fail, it seems like PlayStation Plus is just like week by week. They're just part of the fail system here. My fail is they're trying to buy our loyalty with free movies. It's like, come on, dude. Like, really? That's like, and they're not even giving everybody the free movies that own PS Plus. You have to have the premium PS Plus to get all of the movies. And then everybody else who has all the other lower tiers get some of the movies. And these movies are not great. I saw the list and I was like, okay.
Oh, I gotta most look at this of them, list now. I gotta look at this fucking list.
Most of them you can find on other streaming sites that you already pay for. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't really see what the point of this is. Like, I would say the only thing is, like, they're so far, it's the only thing that they're giving everybody for free right now that's like, okay, that's kind of cool, is the Gran Turismo movie.
Yes. Okay, I'm seeing that.
Yeah, that's like, okay, yeah, so it's barely, like, out or not out for everybody right now, I would assume. Digital, maybe, but not, like, on streaming sites. So for it to arrive on PlayStation first, it's kind of cool. But at the same time, like, I don't really give a shit about that movie. But the rest of the list, I was like, dude, come on. Like, what are we doing here? Like, they jacked up the price. The release of the games have been really fucking mediocre. And now they're like, haha, just kidding. We're going to give everybody free movies that you could probably find everywhere else.
Yeah, and they're all Sony movies, if I remember correctly. So only stuff they actually have the rights to.
Exactly, and it's a really stupid list. So yeah, I'm not a fan. This is a super fail for me.
I mean, James, you don't want to watch the sequel to Anaconda, Anacondas.
No,
for free.
I mean, if we're gonna cover it on Trash Month, then sure.
They don't even have Anaconda on here, so
they have this sequel though.
They have the sequel Anacondas. Which is fine. And
plural. There's more than one.
There's more than one Anaconda this time. I think that, there you go.
I would rather just save money than fucking bullshit-ass movies, you know?
But, yeah, you know. I'm just saying, like, how about you give us better games on PlayStation Plus tiers than stupid movies? How about that?
No, how about you give us Sniper 3?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great movie that I totally remember Sniper 1 through 2, right? And Starship Troopers Invasion and Starship Troopers Marauder and not Starship Troopers 1 and not the first Starship Troopers movie.
Yes.
You can't watch that. You're going to have to pay for that one.
I'm telling you, dude. It's a really terrible list.
This is among the worst fucking... Wow, this is horrifyingly bad.
Holy shit. All of those movies aren't even available to those who don't have PlayStation Plus Premium. So... all of us down here on the lower tiers, we might only get Starship Troopers 2 and not 3.
Hey, all right. Whatever tier has both Can't Hardly Wait and Black Dynamite, though, that's the one. That's the tier you need to get.
I mean, I love Can't Hardly Wait. That's a classic for me, but yeah, it's a terrible list. PlayStation, what the hell are you doing?
I know. This is actually really bad. Holy shit, it's way worse than I thought it would be. Jesus Christ.
It's really bad.
Okay. All right, look up that list, guys. That was a fun one. All right, what about your fail?
Mine's a little quickie here. Just Epic Games over here saying that they need to raise the prices on V-Bucks because of inflation, and it's like, it's not a physical fucking good. How does inflation hit something digital? I don't understand that. Like, yeah, they're only raising it, like, I think a dollar or two, but still, it's like, bro, it's fucking digital. There is no fucking physical currency that is there besides what I'm paying you. So why the fuck do I need to pay $2 more for something that cost $7.99 a year ago? Like, there's no more server strain. There's no more fucking, you know... fucking physical labor being done here. It's literally like, oh yeah, we need to keep up with inflation, guys, so we're gonna charge you $8.99 instead of $7.99. It's like, yeah,
all the snacks in the community kitchen, the snack bar got more expensive to maintain, so now they had to up the V-Bucks. See, that's how corporate America works. All the coffees and everything. Inflation. Oi, Epic. Epic really fucked up this week. Talk about shit. Okay, so we're gonna leave off with, everybody's fucking up. Alright, sir, headline before we get out of here. Speaking at the Tokyo Game Show, Capcom president Haruhiro Tsujimoto went on to record to say that game prices are, quote-unquote, too low. He wanted to say that, quote, development costs are about 100 times higher than during the Famicom era. Oh, Famicom era? But software prices have not gone up that much, end quote. In his defense, Capcom has not really adopted the new-gen pricing model of $70 yet. Capcom's most recent high-profile release, Street Fighter VI, is $60 brand new. So, I mean, Capcom could get away with $10 more. They're Capcom. They're fine.
I'll happily pay $70 for Resident Evil 9.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're good, Capcom, but,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, they're straight up, like, you know, like we talked about last episode, too, like, Separate Ways is only $10. Like, dude, I'll give you guys 20. Like,
don't be shy. I actually would have. Yeah.
I mean, the Village DLC was $20, and it came with the new story and third-person mode and everything, and I was like, okay, that's fine. $20 is totally fine.
Yeah. Capcom, you're doing okay, man. If you want to give us... you're the one of the few developers I would say, like, go ahead and do 70. You know, you guys... Yeah. You guys earned it, all right? You're not... You know, fucking... I don't know. A bunch of other shitty developers that I can't think of any right now. Anyways, that's our episode right there. Anything else before we head out? No?
No.
All right, cool. Well, that's it. That's the NPC Gaming Podcast, guys. That is a production of the Horrible People's Network. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to discuss, I'm sure, a lot of upcoming changes in the gaming industry. And, of course, we are going into the holiday season, which a lot of big major game releases are happening. Although, of course, the team is holding out for Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
And I am going to be able to play a game, I'm sure, at some point in the next 2 weeks. So let's see how that works out. anyways, so you can find me, Anthony, at the Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRBLE People's Podcast. We just got a big surge of listeners thanks to HorrorCon, which was super fun. We're launching in October. So a lot of good stuff this month. James, where can they find you?
You can also find me on the Horrible People's Network, as I am part of the Turning Tables podcast, which is a live play D&D podcast. I play a barbarian pirate lord that just bonks everything in sight. So if you want to go listen to that, please do, because it's a hell of a lot of fun.
There you go. All right, and Cordova? It's still the mystery man, huh?
Yeah, you guys can find me here, but I mean, you know, unless you want... just one update every 7 months. That's what I do on my normal Instagram. But, you know, if you guys do, go ahead and drop a comment. Say, give me Cordova's Instagram. But
there you go. Say that exact comment. Say that exact comment. Give that leg, boy.
Hashtag give me that leg, boy.
Yep. Other than that, I'm here. I'm on the Horrible People's podcast every now and again when they have video game episodes. So,
We got a couple more coming up. So look out. Season 6, baby. All right. Adios, guys. Peace.
Later. Bye.